You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, happy to have you along, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards out for the evening. I'm Sam Bushman filling in, and I got my buddy Sean Bergen with me. We're going to break down hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use like no other, baby. Get ready, fasten your seatbelt, because it's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be in your face. Best of all, it's going to be accurate and truthful. Sean, welcome back, brother.
Great to be back, Sam.
All right, a couple of things. There's two kinds of companies in the world, Sean. You ready for it? Those have been hacked, and those who are yet to be hacked, sir.
Okay.
What do you say to that?
Well, I'd say you better protect and defend yourself, that's for sure, because you know, with all that's going on with identity theft, this seems to be a growing racket, and it's international in scope, and it's often done by people who live in faraway lands where we can't get to them. They're unprosecutable. And for that reason, you've got to take every measure that's available to you to prevent it from happening to you.
All right. Now, big companies have been hacked. We've heard of the big Facebook hacks. We've heard of the big all these hacks. The latest one, 100 million people has had their data exposed in a Capital One bank hack. Thousands of Social Security numbers and accounts leaked, birthdays, Social Security numbers, driver's license numbers. Because it's a bank this time, there's no end to the data they got. It was one woman in America, hacker.
Yeah, which shows you the kind of damage that can be inflicted by just one person who might, you know, you may never even perceive as a threat. And you've got to wonder, what is the motivation here? Was she selling that data off to criminal enterprises in places like Estonia and Albania? You know, is your information, your personal information, now in the hands of Russian gangsters? It's a scary kind of thought, and it's certainly something to be concerned about.
Now, she I guess worked for big tech in the past too. She was a well-known supposed good guy employee, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, one would expect that she's, you know, clearly a woman of above average intelligence. She has access to, you know, to NATA, you know, knowledge that isn't available to most people, you know, naturally. And she's probably someone who held a position of great trust at one point. It's really scary when you think that, you know, some quiet, unassuming woman sitting behind a computer terminal someplace, either at work or at home, could go ahead and wreak that kind of havoc.
I guess she worked as a tech company software engineer for Amazon. She was 33 years old. And, you know, I look at this. The Justice Department said she was able to gain access by exploiting a misconfigured web application firewall, according to the court filing. Ms. Thompson was arrested in connection with the breach. The attorney, of course, couldn't be reached for comment. And you look at this thing and you go, you talk about one woman, 100 million people, because of a bank. I mean, they have more information on anybody, or more information on all of us than anybody else. And this is a massive hack. And here's the problem. Some of these hacks, though, for example, I don't know how you're familiar with the credit card rating services or whatever, like Experian and Equifax and those. Well, Equifax got hacked.
Yeah.
So now you're in a situation where when the banks get hacked and Equifax get hacked, with Equifax, we never even voluntarily gave them our information at all in the first place, but they have it all. And now you, as a user of that hacked information, if you put together Equifax information with all the banking information, there's almost nothing you don't have, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the case of the Capital One case, the hack, what's important to note, or what is especially noteworthy here, is that there were no credit card account numbers or login credentials that were compromised, and less than 1% of the Social Security numbers were compromised. But, however, at the same time, they do have a lot of customer status data, credit cards, credit scores, limits, balances, payment history, contact information. You know, and when you put that together with the kind of personal information that you would get from a credit check agency like TransUnion or Equifax, I don't see that people would really want that information out there. You know, I don't know to what, you know, what could they possibly do to any one individual with that kind of information, I guess remains to be seen. But it's very concerning. And it's very concerning when you consider how much of our lives are actually out there on, you know, on available through the computer. You know, I mean, bank information, credit scores, history—that's one thing. But look, at the same time, you've got to take a look at what people actually share about their personal lives on social media, and how is that information, how is that data being mined by Facebook, by Google? You know, I mean, we live in a big brother world now. This is like, it's Orwellian, to the point now where, I mean, Google now is, people were talking about, the Russians interfering on our election system. It seems to me that nobody has interfered in our elections, more than Google has, based on the information that we have, just been revealed to us just within the last few months. And I'm not sure how you rein that in. That's the important part. Or, like, what steps or what measures can you possibly take to prevent the theft of this information, the sharing of this information, and what could people possibly do with this information once it gets into their hands? There's a lot of unknown unknowns here that are, if you think about it, it's kind of disturbing.
All right, now, the plot thickens, because it's one thing for banks to get hacked. It's another thing for credit card rating services to get hacked. Over 13 massive companies have been hacked, including Facebook and many others, since 2018. So this is very short-lived. But there's now more documentation, Sean, that the government literally got in bed with Silicon Valley. So you got the Pentagon, you got the CIA, you got the NSA, you got DARPA. As the internet was being built in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, government literally got in bed with and funded Silicon Valley. So you got a triad here. Silicon Valley, in other words, big tech. You got government via the Pentagon and the military. And then you've got universities such as Stanford, et cetera, all involved in building this tech that is now becoming the latest tyranny. Are you caught up on all this?
Well, I'm with you. That nexus is extremely powerful when you consider that the reach that they have and the power that they have over our lives.
Now, the funny thing about it is Donald acts like he's trying to rein this in. And they always act like government's the solution, but government's at the helm of this triad with the funding. The goal when they built the internet was to build a command and control system. When we come back, a couple of more details. We've got a lot of topics for Sean Bergen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sam Bushman, filling in for James Edwards on your radio.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? to help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards, Sean Bergen with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about how the federal government, through the Pentagon and the military, secretly funded Silicon Valley tech, folks. They've been doing it for literally decades, my whole lifetime, and I'm over 50 years old. They've been doing this, folks. And it is a interesting, scary scenario. There's two researchers I'm going to point you to that have got the goods on this whole breakdown for your education. One of them is worldaffairsbrief.com with Joel Skousen, who wrote up an incredible detail on this a week or two ago in his weekly World Affairs Brief. The other one is James Corbett of the Corbett Report. He has produced an excellent video documentary on YouTube now on how the deep state has used secret government funds to finance high-tech development in computers, the internet, networking, search engines, not to mention social media, tracking our lives in order to build the most sophisticated surveillance power in the world, folks. All right, the government continues to weaponize the Internet of Things, if you will, and now they're going to couple it with 5G, Sean.
Yeah, I mean it's mind blowing when you consider the scope and the reach of the surveillance state and what they're capable of. You know, I mean I know that I've seen interviews with Bill Binney, who you know really developed a lot of the technology now being used by the NSA, and when you consider that they have the ability to track every single phone call, text message, email, social media post, that's made in the country at any given time. It's kind of scary if you consider that this stuff could fall into the wrong hands, and that may have been what we were looking at really over the last 8 years with the whole Spygate routine that we see now unfolding before our eyes. When you have a guy like Barack Obama, who chooses to weaponize these lettered agencies that have such a profound impact and control over our life now, whether it's the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, the IRS, the ATF. When you have people who are just power drunk and really driven by having control over the lives of others, the capabilities here are staggering. And when you couple that with the nefarious motives of some people who, a lot of people actually, who get into government positions, it's actually terrifying.
The good news is there's a few real men that are standing up now and saying, wait a minute, this ain't what I signed up for. And one of the co-founders of Facebook is standing up and going, man, this thing's a criminal enterprise now. It's off the rails. It's crazy. We want out. We reject this. We need to stop this. You got a couple of people coming out of Google saying the same thing. You're starting to get more and more people to stand up going, wait a minute, I built this, but this is not what I thought the intent was. This has been weaponized against us. And they're speaking out. These are the insiders that built some of it that are now doubling down and saying, hey, this is just, you know what? Ozzy Osbourne's crazy train on steroids now. This has got to be stopped.
Yeah. James O'Keefe's Project Veritas did a great job in exposing and uncovering Google executives who basically said they're not going to allow a second re-election of Donald Trump. I mean, like, the arrogance on these people and the utter condescension where they actually believe that in a democracy, in a democratic republic, that it is within their purview to decide for the people who the they're going to bypass the election now, and they're going to elect a president themselves because they can't allow Trump to happen again. That was what we heard one Google executive say. Now, if there's that's not just one person in an organ, that they have an entire culture there that is geared toward that. Whether it's Google, Facebook, Twitter, when you consider what they do with these algorithms and how they certain news stories make it to the top of the search feed, but others don't. There was a guy testifying there before Congress just within the last few weeks talking about the effect that Google had on swaying votes in the last election. And he was talking like at the baseline, at the bottom, somewhere between 2 and 3 million votes. And it's more likely that it was like 10 million votes swung in the direction of Hillary Clinton.
And then they run around and suggest that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. And when Donald brings up any opposition to that, they say he's off his rocker. But now we have the proof.
Yeah, well, these are people who are incapable of being honest with themselves. So that's why they have no problem deceiving the public. I mean, they live in a fantasy world. It's a self-imposed fantasy world. They just simply refuse to participate in this thing that we call reality. And so they feel like they're justified in doing this kind of stuff because they think that they're smarter than everybody else because they went to a really good college.
The seeds are being sown on both sides. The tyranny right now going for broke. The extreme left, whacked out, not even living in reality folks, are really trying to push the envelope. And right now, on one hand, it seems like they're going to win. Okay, James Comey, for example, not charged for mishandling of memos, documenting and linking conversations with Donald Trump, etc. Okay, literal criminal activity, and it looks like they're going to let him walk. So at first glance, it looks like they're going to win, huh?
Well, that's small potatoes kind of stuff. He was one of the architects of Spygate. He and John Brennan and James Clapper, although I don't know to the extent of what which he was involved, but certainly Comey was. And those are acts of treason that could really put him away in prison for life. So the leaked memos right now is really small potatoes. Although I am of the mind that when you find a guy who's guilty of a crime like that, you slap the handcuffs, put the bracelets on him, bring him in, start interrogating this guy, and start softening him up. But I don't know that. Look, they have a strategy. They know he's up to his neck in this stuff. you know, I think that there's going to be a lot more information to come, probably within the next few weeks, that's going to reveal exactly what the line of thinking here, what the strategy is.
Well, here's the interesting connection to this. From what I understand, a judge just said Julian Assange is not guilty. And a lot of the people who received the information, not guilty. And so now we're starting to dig to find out who is, right?
A judge where said Assange was not guilty?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. I mean, was that here in the United States?
Yes. It's basically talking about the different people who were... they were trying to say you weren't allowed to get this information, whether the Russians had it or not. The fact is, it's one thing to steal it. It's another thing to use it once it's available. And the judge clearly denoted the difference in those things and highlighted that.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see the way the Assange case plays out. I'm not sure how. I think ultimately he's going to find his way here to the United States. Whether or not he's criminally charged will be another matter altogether. But that guy is sitting on a mountain of information that a lot of very powerful people do not want exposed to the public. So, you know, he was very adamant very early on that Hillary Clinton would never be elected, that Hillary Clinton was going to prison. And we heard that reiterated even by the NYPD, who said that the content of the data that they found on Anthony Weiner's laptop was enough to put Hillary Clinton and her crew away for life. So I think that this information is explosive, and it's going to be released in a way that is going to ensure that these people end up behind bars for a very long time.
All right, we'll talk about it in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Bergen with me. Judge. Well, I'll get into it. Hold on. Liberty Round, The Political Cesspool Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
At least 19 deaths have occurred during a mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. At least 40 people have been injured. This woman was inside when it happened.
I wasn't really paying attention, but I heard, doo, doo, doo. And then it went, doo, 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 like closer together. So then that's when I thought it was gunshot.
Police say they believe it to be a lone shooter who is in custody. He's a 21-year-old white male who's been identified as Patrick Crucius. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says Texans are grieving. He tweets, "We thank first responders for their swift action. We ask God to bind up the wounds of all who have been harmed." James Duggar with the local blood bank says the community needs blood donations right now.
Type O blood is always in demand in these types of situations because it can be transfused to all blood types.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
A New York administrative judge says New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill should fire Officer Daniel Pantaleo, who used a chokehold on Eric Garner before his death in 2014. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Today, for the first time in these long 5 years, the system of justice is working.
Police Union Chief Patrick Lynch on the mayor.
He has lost the confidence of New York City police officers. We always hoped that he'd come to his senses and understand the job that we do.
Just one day after imposing a 10% tariff on Chinese goods, President Trump spoke about a beef deal with the European Union.
Opening markets for our farmers is about more than just an industry. It's about a way of life.
U.S. beef producers have recently been financially hurt by retaliatory tariffs from the Chinese. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Sam Bushman and Sean Bergen breaking it down just for you. Listen up, folks. Listen carefully. This is a, what do they call this? Dow Jones? I think it's a reputable news organization, they claim, right? Judge dismisses Democrats' suit against Russia, Trump campaign. DNC lawsuit alleges a conspiracy to hack into a computer network and leak information that related to Hillary's 2016 campaign. Rebecca Davis O'Brien writes the piece that came out July 30th, 2019, folks. All right. Quote, a federal judge in Manhattan has dismissed a lawsuit filed by the Democratic National Committee against Russia, the Trump campaign, WikiLeaks, and others, ruling that the committee's allegations of a wide-ranging conspiracy to interfere in the 2016 election were moot or without merit, if you will. The lawsuit filed in April 2018 alleged that the defendants conspired to hack into the DNC's computer network and strategically leak stolen information to undermine Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign to help improve Donald Trump's odds of winning. Anyway, the story goes on, but it basically highlights this idea that, hey, we don't know who stole it, but the fact is, just because Donald was gleeful that it was out there, and just because WikiLeaks and others might have disseminated the information, that doesn't make them guilty because you can't prove they stole it. There is no crime for using it. Very interesting story, Sean Bergen.
Look, that DNC lawsuit was nothing but a distraction and a smokescreen, and everybody knows it. WikiLeaks has, Julian Assange has repeatedly stated that he did not get the information from the Russians. There was a Fox News producer who actually spoke to Assange, who says that Assange told her that he got that information directly from Seth Rich. And of course, Seth.
And now, hold on. So, wait a minute. Now we got Comey dismissed, but now we got this lawsuit dismissed. And now, if you start to dig on the other side of the coin, you're going to find Seth Rich and a murder and Julian Assange at the heart of it all. Julian Assange working with Seth Rich to get to the truth has nothing to do with the Russians per se. The attack on Donald was false. And now people are going to start going to jail if we get there.
Well, you know what I always found baffling is that nobody from the DNC really made a big stink about Seth Rich dying. I didn't hear any, like...
In fact, if you brought it up, they say you're a conspiracy nut.
Yeah, you know, it was just dismissed out of hand. But, you know, look, here's the thing. There was a golden opportunity for them there to come out with some massive gun control argument, you know, that one of their staffers had been gunned down in the streets, you know, like they do with every, I'm sure, you know, 5 minutes after the shooting today in El Paso. They were out there to call it for gun control. But strangely enough, nobody on the Democrat side had anything to say about a gun control argument after Seth Rich was gunned down. Why do you think that is, Sam?
Because they don't want to dig in and find out who's really involved and who's responsible. They tried to say that it was a robbery gone awry, but the fact is there was nothing taken. So this really is a serious issue, and Julian Assange internationally suggested he knew more about the case. So I'm hoping that Donald can get Julian back and get to the truth, and I hope we can create accountability, and then the lock him up chant of the folks on the campaign trail might come true.
Well, listen, if there's anybody who can get Julian Assange back to the United States, it's Donald Trump. I mean, he did manage to get that ASAP rapper released from Sweden, right?
Yeah, I think he can actually do it. And I feel like we need to defend Julian Assange and others who are getting at the truth. You know, we can't just buy this lie that's in the mainstream press that everybody's just running around guilty. What I think they're doing, like Mueller, for example, played dumb like an old man that's all confused when he was queried I think he knows more than he's letting on. He just had the Bill Clinton amnesia idea where I'm a bumbling old man, call me what you want, as long as I protect my people and nobody goes to jail and we stick to the distraction, it's just fine, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's their game plan. Look, I mean, these folks are motivated by raw naked politics and control over other people's lives, and that's all they care about, all of them. And that's the American left today, and the further to the left they go, the further to the left they creep, the more control is involved. And, you know, eventually you go from being just basic liberal progressive into a flat-out socialist and then to a small-c communist. And that, you know, what they're looking for is more and more government control over people's lives. And where you have more government control over people's lives, the people's lives suffer immeasurably. All we have to do is look at a place like Baltimore to see just how that works.
Now, Robert Mueller's or Mueller's documents, his findings showed that the campaign, in fact, refused multiple offers by Russians to involve them in a hacking scheme or a disinformation effort. They did not take the bait. And President Trump, in a tweet late Tuesday, noted that the judge in this case, John Coltel, I think is how you say it, appointed by Bill Clinton, is really big stuff. But yet, hey, complete vindication, exoneration of Donald, of WikiLeaks, of the whole bit. And it's all over the news. At least when it comes to the mainstream press, they all have the story. The problem is no one's talking about it. How come, Sean?
Because it doesn't fit their narrative. And their narrative has been one. Look, the mainstream press has been out there pushing a conspiracy theory for over 2 years now that there was Trump-Russia collusion. There was no Trump-Russia collusion. There was, however, massive collusion on the part of the Clintons, the Obamas, and the DNC with the Russians. And that's what's going to come out now. Barack Obama ran a spying operation on Donald Trump and his campaign, and he ran it out of the White House. Now, not only did he run a spying operation, not only did they desperately not want him to be elected, once he was elected, they continued the spying operation in an effort to get him impeached. Now, you have to ask yourself, why are they so desperate to keep him out of the office of the presidency? And I think it's because of what he's going to uncover. The level and the depth of corruption on the part of Barack Obama, the Clintons, and everyone who was associated with him is going to be staggering. And it's not
all right. Now, let me tell you the most interesting part of the lawsuit that I want you to respond to, Sean. Listen to this. The suit did not even allege that the stolen information was false and defamatory, but rather sought to hold the Trump team accountable for stealing it. WikiLeaks accountable for stealing it. They're not even challenging that it's false information. They know that the information's real and true. They're just mad because it got stolen. They tried to pin it on Donald and failed. But now the reality for this lawsuit is they didn't even challenge whether the information was real or not. That alone sets the stage for the staggering information that will be sure to come at some point.
Well, yeah, they can't run from that, and you know they don't want to go on record. They don't want anybody to hear about it at all. They just want to run a smokescreen and just hope that it quietly goes away. So that's why they're not questioning the veracity of the information that was stolen.
So the Comey stuff is small stuff, but when you start to dig into Seth Rich and its murder, you start to drill into Julian Assange, you start to recognize that this information is not even being challenged as fake or not honorable, that it's real, true information. Now you violate a ton of federal statutes, including the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, racketeering, influenced and corrupt organizations, RICO Act, Wiretap Act, Stored Communications Act, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, Classified Information. I mean, it goes, I'm telling you right now, this will get big fast. And the judge wrote in his 81-page opinion that the DNC's argument was entirely divorced from the factual record in the case. Imagine that from a Clinton-appointed judge, Sean. He knows that if this goes big, he better be on the right side of it, or he's going down too.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of these folks are able to recognize just how big this is, and they're at a point in their lives where they don't want their legacy or their reputation tarnished or besmirched in any way. I mean, look at Robert Mueller. I mean, you know, the guy, for all of his faults, and believe me, he presided over the FBI when there was some really bad stuff going on, whether it was Whitey Bulger, the Enron case, Uranium One. But his reputation now is completely blown to smithereens. He is going to go down in history as this pathetic, doddering. That testimony that he gave, which was just a complete catastrophic train wreck for the Democrat Party, is how people are going to remember Bob Mueller. And that's unfortunate for him. But look, you know, he's the one who chose to go down this road. He could have come out after just a few months and said there was no collusion and ended that investigation. And instead, he chose to drag it out for another 2 years. He tried to frame George Papadopoulos. He tried to frame Carter Page. He charged General Mike Flynn with a crime when, you know, Mike Flynn is a heroic figure. You know, he destroyed Manafort's life based on some tax thing that happened 12 or 14 years ago. He was desperate to find anything that he could cling to get Donald Trump, and he failed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the judge even said more. This is a bold judge for a Clinton appointee, and the only reason I think he'd be bold like this is if he knows. You know what? The writing's on the wall. Justice might grind slow, but it's going to happen. You know, we need to talk about QAnon and a couple of things we're gathering on this, too. I got a little more word from the judge that's fascinating. Listen to this. Hang tight.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Sam Bushman and Sean Bergen filling in for James Edwards. I'm telling you, this story's all over the place, but nobody's talking about it. Fox, CNN, Reuters, The Wall Street Journal, everybody and their dog has the piece. Headline from Fox says, judge misses DNC hacking lawsuit against Trump team, says claims are entirely divorced from the facts in the case. Dismissed. WikiLeaks. The Trump administration, it was bogus from the start. However, here's what the judge says, which I find interesting and really telling. If WikiLeaks can be held liable for publishing documents concerning the DNC's political, financial, and voter engagement strategy simply because the DNC labels it secret, then so can any newspaper or other media outlet, wrote the judge. That, he said, would elevate a privacy interest over the First Amendment rights of people in the media. Okay? They can't disseminate information of the highest public concern that way. Anyway, basically, completely exonerated. I don't know that it gets more clear than that from a judge and a Hillary, or I should say a Bill Clinton appointed judge on top of it. I say quite telling, Sean.
Yeah, I think it's become abundantly clear to any sober thinking adult that whether it was the Mueller investigation, this lawsuit was it was a frivolous lawsuit. And
now listen to this: the judge further said, even if the Russians stole the documents directly from the DNC and provided the hacked documents directly to the Trump team, it would not be criminal for the campaign to publish those documents anyway, as long as they did not contribute to the hacking itself. Similarly, the judge said, it's not criminal to merely solicit and or welcome stolen documents. I mean, this is pretty bold, sir.
Oh, it's, it's very clear cut. And I can tell you that if the shoe was on the other foot, and this information was damaging to any Republican out there, every single news agency in the country would be running Pearl Harbor headlines on the front page, and it'd be the lead story in every network TV show.
The judge even goes back to Vietnam when some documents were leaked, and the Washington Post and others leaked the documents. The Supreme Court held the New York Times and the Washington Post were protected because of those leaked documents, because all they did was publish them.
Yeah, that's it. That was the Pentagon Papers case, and
that's right.
Really, was the precedent for everything that came after it. We saw the same thing with Watergate, and the information that was provided on the Nixon administration. So, this was a Hail Mary attempt on the part of the DNC to try and slow things down, and obstruct and make sure that information does not end up in the public domain. They wanted to stall that as long as possible. It was inevitable that this decision was going to be made. I think that to do otherwise would be unconstitutional.
He dismissed the suit with prejudice, which means that it can't be refiled.
Well, that's it. It's done. And things are going to get a lot worse now for the DNC. I think that when all is said and done, by the time Trump leaves office, the Democrat Party will be viewed in this country in the same way that the Germans view the Nazi Party.
And that is beyond imagination to fathom. But I'm telling you, people are seeing the writing on the wall. Now you toss in the Jeffrey Epstein issue and you say, you know what? All bets are off because there's so many people associated with Epstein internationally speaking, plus high level officials in America. Even if Jeffrey doesn't talk, somebody will. And I'm telling you, it backs right into these circles.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I think that Epstein is going to do, he's the kind of guy who's going to play every card he has in his deck in order to minimize his prison stay and do whatever he can to leverage that. And I truly believe that he has these people on video. And that's his big ace in the hole. Is he's got well over 100 of these folks on video engaged in acts that they don't ever, ever want to get out into the public domain.
And I think it ties directly into the Clintons as well, because Bill Clinton said he only went on the Lolita Express four times, and he had his staff there and everything else. But it turns out he was on there, according to Fox News, over 27 times. It also turns out that many of these people visited the White House and donated to Bill Clinton's campaign as well.
I've seen that those reports. There was an investigative reporter, and her name escapes me right now, who did appear on the Shannon Bream show, saying that Clinton was on that plane 27 times, and every single time there were underage girls present, and Epstein was a visitor to the Clinton White House, and was often quoted as taking credit for helping Clinton form and develop the Clinton Foundation. So those two are inextricably linked, and their relationship goes a lot further than just some, casual social meetings, whether it's on a plane or otherwise. Those guys are both into the same kind of stuff, and what's really scary is that they got a lot of friends. There's a lot of folks out there who are just like them.
QAnon drops are giving us hints along the way, but I'm telling you right now, I think this whole thing is gonna boil over. I'm guessing before the 2020 election.
What part is gonna boil over, Sam?
I don't know. There's so many avenues. There's so many strings that could be pulled. Right now, it's been limited to Jeffrey Epstein. The media is trying to not connect all the dots. But at some point, somebody somewhere is gonna blow the lid off. And I'm guessing it might have to do something with Julian Assange.
The next shoe to drop, I believe, will be the declassification of the FISA documents that led to the FISA court's surveillance warrants that allowed the FBI to go ahead and spy on the Trump campaign. Now
that links directly to Barack Obama. With he knew full well that goes straight to him.
And the mystery man in all this is a guy by the name of Joseph Mifsud. And I've mentioned that here on the air on a number of occasions. The reporting that just came out, Jim Jordan asked Bob Mueller full on during the Mueller testimony, congressional testimony, why didn't you charge Joseph Mifsud with a crime? And was Joseph Mifsud Russian intelligence or Western intelligence? And what I'm learning now, just within the last couple of days, is that John Durham, the prosecutor who's really leading the charge into what sparked this whole Mueller special counsel and this whole Russia hoax, Durham actually has an interview on tape with Mifsud. And when we find out who was the one who paid Mifsud and who gave him his orders and what were those orders, that's going to blow the whole spy case, Spygate case, wide open.
And I'm afraid that nobody knows where all the dots, once they get connected, are going to lead. When you put Epstein, the wild card, in there, when you drag the Clintons into it, when you drag a murderer, Seth Rich, and Julian Assange into it, you have Donald Trump at the involvement or the helm of it in some ways. You look at this, and there's no telling where it's going to go. The only question is, how deep state is it? How much of it will they be able to contain is really the question left, right?
Well, look, I think that Trump has spent the last 2 years, ridding his these agencies of deep state influence, whether it's in the lettered agencies, the State Department, government of every level. The Senior Executive Service is another big racket that most Americans are completely unaware of. You know, where does all this lead? I'll tell you where it leads. It leads to Gitmo. And I think that's where a lot of these guys are going to end up, is serving lengthy prison terms on, in Guantanamo Bay. That's where they're going to have to put them all.
The question is, will they try to take us to a civil war and or an international war to try to contain this before it busts open wide?
I think that you're already seeing something of a civil war in this country. I think that's only going to get worse. It's my understanding that Antifa was scheduled this week to be headed to the border in El Paso, which makes me highly suspect this mass shooting that went on today. That was in El Paso. There's way too many things here that are coincidental. I think that. I don't know if we'll end up in a shooting war with Iran or somebody like that, but I think that deep state has really been neutralized to a large degree. And what we're going to do now, we're just waiting for all of this basically to unfold and unravel. And it's going to start with the declassification documents. You mentioned QAnon. QAnon had been putting placeholders in place in brackets C before D. And nobody really knew what C before D meant. And then QAnon just released that within the last few days, Coates before D-class. So they relieved Coates from his position as the head of Director of National Intelligence. He is now no longer the DNI. Ratcliffe's name was thrown out there as a possible replacement. But it looks like he's been removed from the equation. So right now there is no actual DNI. It would be a perfect time to declassify these documents.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep an eye on the ball just for you. Sean Bergen, your political cesspool reporter with his fingers on the beat of what's happening, and we'll keep you up to date. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
There you go, Sean Bergen doing a phenomenal job for the political cesspool. I'm telling you right now, we'll keep an eye on this. This is the side of the story that you don't hear in the media. They're putting out flags and details, but it's really hard to connect the dots. But if you watch the news like we do, we'll put it together just for you. Keep your eye on the ball, folks. Keep your powder dry. Pray hard and work hard to defend our God-given sacred republic. This is the Political Cesspool. Have a delightful evening.